Three, and I, Mr. Smith, maybe you could help get the, can you help get the PowerPoint up for number three while the clerk is calling it? You know?
Sure, I'm not sure. Is this the...
Item number three, from the Chairman, President, and Chief Financial Officer of Badger Meter and co-founder and co-chair of the Water Council Board of Directors, providing a presentation on water and economic development. This item is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Rick Mushin is here this morning. Thank you for coming, first of all. We appreciate your time here and your appearance. I'll let you make any introductory comments that you might like to make, and then I know you brought a PowerPoint for us to view.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here today. My wife isn't very glad because my only daughter got married on Saturday, and I've got a house full of in-laws, which explains why I'm glad to be here. She's not glad I'm here. So this was an excuse to get to escape. I am, and I'm the Chairman, President, and Chief Executive Officer. You read financial. Of Badger Meter. Badger Meter is a 107-year-old Milwaukee company. We have 1,500 employees around the world and 8 plants in 5 countries. We have 500 employees here in Milwaukee County at our corporate headquarters up on Brown Deer Road, and we have been here since we were founded in 1905. Badger Meter is the largest maker of water meters in North America, but we also make a wide variety of flow meters that are sold around the world. About 6 years ago, I had a vision, I had an idea that Milwaukee could position itself as a water technology center. I knew that there was an inordinate number of water technology companies in southeastern Wisconsin, and that might give us a competitive advantage. We had UWM do some research, and they found that there were over 150 water technology companies in southeastern Wisconsin. When you're talking about water meters, heaters, filters, fixtures, pumps, they all pretty much come out of this region. You know, the Kohler bathroom fixtures, Pentair pumps, A.O. Smith, the largest maker of water heaters, Badger, the largest maker of water meters, were all located in this area. We're located here because 21% of the world's fresh water is right outside our back door in the form of the Great Lakes. It just made sense. I also believe that we could bring these water technology companies together and work towards a common goal. So we formed something called the Milwaukee Water Council 6 years ago with 3 objectives. The first objective was to encourage economic development in southeastern Wisconsin around water technology. We wanted to attract businesses, grow businesses, help startups all in southeastern Wisconsin. Second objective was talent development. We wanted to get the kids to study water technology, and we wanted the companies in the region to hire the kids who were studying water technology. And then the third objective was the fact that addressed the fact that every 20 seconds a child in the world dies from lack of fresh water. We believe that that's an abomination, and it has to be fixed. Everybody's very concerned about things like global warming, but meanwhile, children are dying from lack of fresh water. So we believe that with the talent we have in this region, with the technologies we have in this region, with the companies, we can develop the technologies that can help solve the world's water problems, and that's what we've been focusing on for 6 years. In 6 years, we've come a long way. We have we've convinced the state to start the first ever school of freshwater sciences at UWM, called the UWM School of Freshwater Sciences. We've received the United Nations designation as the 14th city in the world as a center of excellence. The only other one in the United States is San Francisco, which is on climate change. We are the center for water research in the world for the United Nations. We have attracted businesses into this region. We have seen startups as a result of our work, joint ventures as a result of our work. GE and Pentair got together and formed a joint venture on U.S. Filter. That connection was made through the Water Council. I personally bought a company last year in Racine, for $60 million, which I would never have bought if I hadn't met the people through the Water Council. So those are all, and the most likely buyers would have moved the company out of state. So those are all things that we've been able to accomplish, and we've been very proud of what we've gotten done. Now we're working on our crowning achievement, or at least it's going to be my crowning achievement, because at some point I'm going to retire, and somebody else can work on the next crowning achievement. And that is an accelerator building. And to understand this building, I have to take you back about 4 or 5 years to a trip I took to Israel. And I went to Israel, and the government took me to a building that the government owns called Kinrot. And I sat in a conference room, and in the course of 8 hours of sitting in this conference room in Jerusalem, 12 entrepreneurs who were working in that building on water technology, who had gotten free rent from the government to be there, came into the room one after another and either put a prototype on the table in front of me or showed me a PowerPoint presentation. And when they were all done, the guy from the government turned to me and said, now, did you see anything here today that you would like to license or you would like to invest in? And I investigated two of them, and I ended up buying one of the technologies. Israel realizes that people aren't going to move businesses to Jerusalem. We just aren't going to do it. So their number one export is technology, and water technology is a huge piece of that. So on the flight home, I started thinking we need something like that in Milwaukee, because here, if somebody wants to invest in a new water technology and wants to see 12 new water technologies, you travel to 12 cities. Here I went to one place, and in one day, I saw all these cutting-edge technologies. This is what we want to have here. But when I came back and pitched this to the Water Council leadership, I said, we need to do this, but I want to do it on steroids, the good kind of steroids. I want to do it in a way that puts Milwaukee on the map far beyond any other city, because believe me, cities have seen what we've done with the Water Council, and they're nipping at our heels. Cincinnati, Toronto, Pittsburgh, Las Vegas, they all want to be water centers, and they're all forming water councils and trying to move up along this curve. We're about 6 years ahead of them, but they're coming fast. This will put us so far ahead, they'll never be able to touch us. So what we have is a 92,000 square foot, 100-year-old building in the Fifth Ward near the Iron Horse Hotel. It was a former warehouse. We have purchased it, and we have completely rehabbed it. This building will be open on July 15th. We have the building over 80% leased. There are over 20 water technology companies that will be in the building. A third of those companies are from outside of this region. None of the companies in the building represent a relocation from anywhere else. They all represent an expansion, so even the ones in this region are not just moving from one side of Milwaukee to another. They're all expanding in here. We have two French companies that have signed leases, and we have two more French companies that are looking to sign leases. So we are gathering international attention. They are all opening offices in Milwaukee for very simple reasons. They look at Milwaukee and they see we have synergy around water technology and we have talent. We have kids graduating from the UWM School of Freshwater Science. We have kids at MSOE learning about hydrology. Marquette Law School now generates lawyers who understand water law. Whitewater, UW-Whitewater, the largest business school in our state, now offers a water minor with any degree you get. And so these companies see that here you can hire an accountant with a minor in water. There is nowhere in the world that you can do that, other than in southeastern Wisconsin. These companies are coming here, and they're going to be in the building. But this is not just a copy of Kinrock. This is what's really exciting about this building is what's on each layer. The top floor, the seventh floor, will be the UWM School of Freshwater Sciences. The sixth floor will be the UWM School of Engineering. The fifth floor will be the Water Council floor. It will also house the offices of the Greater Milwaukee Committee. Whitewater will have an office there. There will be law offices there specializing in water IP, intellectual property. There will be accounting firms that can help water startups. On the third and fourth floor, the state has rented the majority of those floors. And they've rented those floors so that we can give those offices free to entrepreneurs who want to move in this area and develop water technology. On the second floor, there are companies like Veolia, Paved Drain, all of these foreign companies are moving in, are all filling up these floors. On the first floor of the building, Badger Meter and A.O. Smith will have research facilities. A.O. Smith will be doing research into solar-powered water heaters. Badger Meter will be doing research into new types of water meters with integral valves. Badger Meter also is donating $500,000 to the building in order to have a state-of-the-art flow lab. And the reason that's important is if you're an entrepreneur developing a new water technology, you come up with a prototype, send it off to a lab, a month later you get the results. You tweak it, send it off to a lab, a month later you get the results. In our building, you come up with a prototype, you walk downstairs, and a graduate student from the School of Freshwater Sciences will run the test while you stand there. And if you want the test certified, a professor will come down and certify them. Rapid development means lower cost. They won't be paying all those lab fees. Anybody in the building will be able to use that lab for free. But the most exciting part of that building, and also the main gallery in there, will be used for tours and education, and my family has donated $100,000 to the building to pay for all of that, to have that built into a water center for education for children. But the most exciting part of the building is when you walk in, there are three tables and a coffee machine. And I believe that is what is going to make all of the difference in this building, because I want you to imagine a young entrepreneur sitting at that table having a cup of coffee next to a researcher from a 100-year-old water company, across from a graduate student who's studying freshwater science, next to a professor who's a specialist in freshwater science, and maybe next to an intellectual property patent attorney who understands what you have to do to get a patent. The conversations that will occur over that table could develop the technologies that the world needs to stop a child dying from every 20 seconds from lack of fresh water. That's what we're hoping for. We're hoping to put into one building the synergy that's needed to solve the world's water problems. That building will be open July 15th, and we will be having National Water Week, so we'll be having some events, and we're hoping to see all of you there.
We hope you'll invite us.
Yeah, we certainly will, and I'll be glad to answer any questions you may have. I do have some images. I went through all the work of sending them over. This is the building. Like I said, it's a 100-year-old building. We've rehabbed it. It's very nice. It's right next to the Thule Seed building. The other exciting thing about this building is one company came down and said, we want to move in here. We want to bring in 50 employees there from out in the Madison area. And I said, we don't have room for 50 employees. They said, that's okay. We'll take one nearby. And they rented a building nearby. So this whole idea of the Reed Street properties and the whole area becoming a center for a water campus is starting to take shape. This is where you come in. To the right, you can see behind the glass wall the flow lab that will be there. On the left are the Badger Meter and the A.O. Smith labs. And those couches to the right are what I consider to be the epicenter of the building, the opportunity for those people to sit and have a cup of coffee and talk. This whole hallway is what my family is paying to brand with images and items that will teach children about fresh water. This is the building about a month ago. It looks much better now. But you can see this is a classic Milwaukee building, a 100-year-old building, well-built, good bones, the kind of building you should not tear down, the kind of building you should rehab because it's got a lot of life left in it. You know, I travel a lot to my plants in Germany. To them, a 100-year-old building is new, okay? When it gets to maybe 400 or 500 years, they think about tearing it down. They think we're crazy for what we do with our old buildings. We're giving this building new life. Cream City brick inside, it's a beautiful building. The layout here on the top are the Badger Meter and the A.O. Smith flow labs, and the flow lab is on the right. There's also, this is the Reed Street Yards. The building will be in the square on the right there. And if I may, I'll just, this is the building here. But what's exciting about this is the city of Milwaukee has set aside the Reed Street Yards for water technology development. So we're in a situation where as businesses spin out of our buildings, we don't want them there forever. As new startups spin out, they can either move into any one of the many empty buildings around it, or if they actually want to build their own building, we have empty land for them to build their own building. So it's a very exciting opportunity. We're also putting in some state-of-the-art swales to properly handle water runoff and to make it kind of a showcase for that. So that's our building. We're very excited about it. And with that, I'll answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Committee members. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Who is funding the project and actually owns the building?
The owner of the building has preferred to remain anonymous, and I'd honor that for him. He didn't want his name out there. He didn't want his family taking any credit. He is doing the building, and he will own it, and basically we're leasing it from him. I'm sure you can look it up. It's got to be in some record somewhere.
Well, that's
but
that's
I just
I
don't
mean.
Want
I mean, I don't,
I just don't want to be the one. I mean, he asked to remain, and I just don't want to be the one to announce it.
When, I guess, a new technology is developed at this how will this translate into our economy here and jobs as far as who gets to own the rights to a patent or, like, the rights to discovery?
The inventor owns the rights to the patent. We will, with certain people coming into the building, either offer them a reduced rent rate or free rent, and we may negotiate to take rights to a percentage of any discovery as a result of it, which would be the Water Council, which is a 501c3. We will have to form another arm of the Water Council, much like Wharf did and that kind of thing. But right now, the rights would stay, and you're right, somebody could come in here, invent something, pack up and leave, and it would not benefit us long term. There's no question. Our goal is, this is a marketing play, our goal is that They come in here, they live here for a couple years, they develop the technology, they see what we have to offer, they're going to want to stay.
I guess I just am a little surprised that you would be supporting such a state subsidy with free rent and free labs and free access to our professors and, you know, things that the taxpayers are paying for without some type of concrete, payback for our area. It's a huge expense. We just heard lots of conversations in Madison about the cost of the UW system. So it would be, I'm looking for is how do we capture that expertise and all of that? Because I'm constantly told that county government needs to act like a business, and we get chastised for giving dollar leases and free rent to some community group that wants to save the world. How does this differ dramatically from that?
Mr. Musick.
Well, first off, just to be clear, we are giving access to a flow lab that is paid for by Badger Meter shareholders, not by the taxpayers. So there is no taxpayer money in that flow lab. We are giving access to business to the university, you're right, and to the university students and the graduates to the business world. I imagine there are some professors who might share your view that the university should not have interaction with business unless there's something in it for them, and that the professors should all stay in ivory towers and not be dealing with the business community. I happen to think that if we truly want to train the next generation of talent and allow them to get jobs, interaction with the business community is a huge benefit to the students, not just to the business community. One of the advantages we have here in Milwaukee over Madison is that while Madison has the flagship research facility in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, we have the companies. They don't have companies in Madison. The major product produced in Madison is paper shuffling. But here, we actually make products. We have one university professor who's working on a new technology, and once a month, my vice president of engineering swings by her office just to talk to her about what she's doing and see how it's going. And if she's successful, we will want to license that technology, which will mean money for the university. But she values that interaction. And every one of those students value interaction with businesses. And to say, well, why should business have access to a taxpayer-funded student, I think is a little short-sighted, because that taxpayer-funded student really wants a job, ultimately. And interaction with business is a very valuable thing. As far as the free rent for the entrepreneurs, for the developers, that was something that the WEDC decided on. They approached us. We didn't approach them. And we were certainly more than willing to take advantage of it.
All right. Any other committee comments? Supervisor Schmidt.
I, for one, am very, very excited to hear all this. Madison always had the patents and the innovation centers and all the research and the multi-million dollars that go to Madison. It's about time Milwaukee stepped up and started getting some of this money, the tremendous amounts of monies in research and technology that's possible. We have some, we'll hear later on today, some terrific things going on in the county grounds area I represent. We've done so much in that area. We're talking about engineering and science and cooperation with the medical complex. And I just think we need to think bigger here. And I guess I would just ask a longer-term question here is, I have a son, our oldest son, who's worked in Catholic Relief Services humanitarian work for the last 6 years. He's been in the roughest spot. They don't go to the garden spots of the world. He's been in Sudan for 14 months. He's a second tour down to Afghanistan, but we Skyped him on.
Not a lot of demand for that in Paris and Rome.
But there is a point here, and that is, we talk to him on Skype, of course, as much as we can, and he works in four areas in Afghanistan. He's the country rep there, and there's a lot for women's education. There's a lot of things in farming and et cetera, but water resources is a very big part in all these areas he's worked with. In Bamiyan, it's where the mountains and you can get water, but he's in Herat and another more arid area, Gore is the other area. And he's in the capital where his office is. But they work constantly in trying to I remember pictures of 500 gentlemen in their turbans shoveling so they can get some water down from the mountains down to the village. But is this a realistic? It's very exciting to hear about these potentials. And I think water is something that is, you so rightly say about children, and this is something where humanitarian organizations fight like crazy to try to get clean water to in all these areas. But, you know, looking in the crystal ball, I mean, is there hope that some of these arid areas that have these water resource problems, or what technology, or where can we go in that area, and how Badger Meter could help in that area?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, water is, people say water will be to the 21st century what oil was to the 20th century. I disagree. There's substitutes for oil, wind, solar. There's no substitute for water. It's the only thing you can't live without for more than a few days. And it's going to be a major challenge. When I graduated from high school back in 1973, I remember then Secretary of State Kissinger making an amazing announcement. He said, within 5 years, we will solve world hunger. And he was absolutely right. We now produce more food in the world than what we need. We burn it in our cars. I mean, we've got food. And what he was referring to was the fact that we had developed high-yield crops, special crops. Now, we didn't solve world hunger because we didn't count on problems with delivery, poverty, despotism. You can't get the food to the people. But he was right that we do produce enough to feed the world. Where he made his mistake was that high-yield crops get less crop per drop. They are very thirsty. And we created a new problem in the world, and it was a water problem. And it's a problem that's biting us in the United States now. The Colorado River is no longer making it down to the Baja Gulf. The Rio Grande doesn't flow into the Gulf of Mexico anymore. We have spent 100 years moving water to people, and we've played out our hand. We're done. Now we have to either start moving people to water, which I think bodes well for cities in water basins like ours, or we have to help solve these problems somehow. The fact is we know the technologies. They're there. There are the 2030 Water Resources Group identified 99 new technologies that could solve the world's water problems, whether they're desal systems, gray water systems, reverse osmosis systems, moving the world that uses flood irrigation to sprinkler irrigation, and moving the world that uses sprinkler irrigation to drip irrigation. We can solve these problems. We have the technologies. Right now, the technologies are too expensive, and they're not efficient enough. And what we are doing, what all these companies are doing, and yes, we are profit-driven, we're doing it for a profit motive, but we believe we can improve these technologies to the point where they can be afforded anywhere in the world and where they can be efficient enough to help solve these problems. The solutions are there. We just need to get them to the right people in the right places.
Thank you, Manager.
Supervisor Bowen has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Sure.
Great presentation.
Thank you.
Sounds like you're really on top of attacking innovation. And I think that's something Wisconsin has been doing.
Unfortunately, Supervisor, when I go to cocktail parties and start talking about water, people look for life insurance salesmen to talk to because they don't
want to. I object to that.
I'm sorry.
From one life insurance seller over here. But my question is, and I think that's a reason why we are 44th when it comes to job and job creation. In a country, but when it comes to minority-owned, people of color-owned businesses in the water industry, what's your insight? Do they exist in this region? Are there businesses that are in Milwaukee that are small, minority-owned?
There are, but there aren't enough. There's no question about that. But this isn't so much, I mean, I can't solve all the world's problems, and this is not so much an issue of the water industry as it is an issue of economic opportunities for people of color. We don't have enough economic opportunities, and I don't know if it's a matter of funding, if it's a matter of education, if it's a matter of mentorship. We are working on all those fronts. I'm one of the advisors for BizStarts. You know, if somebody wants to start a water technology company and they need some advice, I am there free of charge to help advise them. And it doesn't matter what color they are. You know, what matters is the technology. What matters is the potential for the technology. So we are trying to create the opportunities. It is a struggle, it's a bigger struggle for minorities. I just came this morning. I was over at across the street at the Wisconsin Club talking to the Veterans Organization, where they have a 23% unemployment rate for veterans age 18 to 30. Finding jobs and helping them to get startups is a challenge. There's an organization called Vet Transfers in town that helps vets start their own business, and I'm involved with that. These are incredibly important initiatives. Because the title of my speech was Wasted Talent. As a society, we can no longer afford to have wasted talent. We can no longer afford to have talented people sitting on the sidelines. We need to engage them. We view this as an opportunity to engage an awful lot of young talent. Let me also say I am sick and tired of the talented young people graduating here and moving out of our city. And we need to figure out a way to retain those people. We need to figure out a way to attract people to this city. And in the water world, Milwaukee is now on the map. Forbes magazine did an article about Milwaukee and our water initiative. Some of the water magazines I read commonly talk about Israel, Milwaukee, and Singapore. They're the three centers for water technology. So we're starting to get the attention of the water world, and with time we'll get the attention of the broader world.
And you also talked about the international interest in water. I think our sister government is in South Africa. What is the perspective of interest?
South Africa has very significant water issues. My company sells down there. We sell a lot of advanced metering technologies to help them manage their water technologies. It's a very important area for them. We've had some people that we've been in conversation with who are looking at whether or not the companies that are going to be in this building can have a relationship where they can share these technologies or even beta test these technologies in South Africa, and the South African government has been very positive towards it.
Definitely. And we have a number of developments that are happening on the east side of the Milwaukee River in the Park East. Just want to make sure you had a chance to check that out. I know you've been a little critical of the things that have been happening.
You didn't like my comment that it looks like a post-apocalyptic wasteland?
No.
That was
but,
I'll accept
but that. The developments on the east side have been really, I guess, accelerating a lot faster than the ones on the west.
So, yes.
And it's great to see that, you know, the economic development is moving on those properties. We just need to switch that synergy to the west side of the river as well.
I agree.
Definitely. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Plant a couple $100,000 of the grass, maybe, huh?
Supervisor Mayo, did you want to try and sell me some insurance? Because I think I'm underinsured.
I will call you a little later.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Musen, I want to thank you for coming.
Thank you, Supervisor.
This is the deliberative branch of government, and I think we need to open the doors and start talking to each other.
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about this.
And we appreciate your being here. A great presentation. So very respectfully, we thank you for coming.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to item 4.